All right.
Third time
we're
lucky.
On the road again. Yep.
That's so fucking weird.
I don't know when we're going to take the hint that we're not meant to be doing this podcast. Probably never. Hopefully never. But there's a fair few signs from the universe every single fucking time we try to record.
So we went to try and record
who
there.
Who is outside? Stop revving their fucking car. Sorry now.
No, lads.
I don't know if you heard that, but the fucking audacity of it.
Yeah, oh, anytime they do that, you can hear it on the fucking episode, like.
Cunts with their supercars. Actually, nobody cares about you and you have a tiny dick. So
facts.
And your cars are kind of ugly as well.
So ugly.
Yeah, but basically I tried to start recording the episode and my mic was muted somehow, which has never happened to me before. So yeah.
Took us a half fucking minute to figure out what the issue was, but we're here.
Never had that happen before, so.
Tell you lads, the spirits. They to be communing with us and we to be ignoring them heavily. For good reason. So how are we in general today anyways?
I've been better. I had a weird sleep last night. I had a massive fight with my family in my dream. Because my dad was going out with my aunt.
Oh, what?
Yeah, my mom. Not his sister, hopefully. My mom and like other family members, and it was just really weird. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
So I mean, fair.
And then I woke up to my phone ringing, and it was you being like, what's the story today? And I was like, oh my god, I'm going to kill myself. But I'm here.
Begrudgingly, but you're here.
Yeah, I don't.
Which I mean, do you know what? Round of applause.
Do the boss for Kiva. Aside from that, yeah, I have no news. I don't think.
Okay.
I saw on my way home from work, because I have to walk by a park, a cat kill a cat had killed a pigeon while it was mid shag.
What?
That's a sin.
Yeah, it was kind of actually a bad sin. No, because it's kind of like a bit of stretch of road, like, and I could see this cat. It was clearly hunting something. You know. And sure, as I got closer, didn't I see pigeons? They were shagging, like, and then because they were obviously too preoccupied, didn't the cat pounce and killed one of the pigeons? So, you know,
didn't even get to nut before he died. That's really
no,
fucking
very sad. He was denied it, you know, like, you know, he could die on a high essentially, but do you know what I mean?
It's still
a bit shit, like,
it's a bad way to go. Like, you want to at least empty your fucking sack before you get murdered.
It was very disrespectful of the cat. No, I won't lie.
Agreed. You think they would have more decency in them than that? Hungry and all as this cat probably was, but listen.
Yeah, he was awful emaciated. But there is a cat that goes around the park, because all of them are all, like, honestly so mangy looking, and I don't care. I can't stand the sight of them. But there's this one big fat cat. Now, this cunt is huge, and he definitely takes all food off the other ones, because he's just a shithouse. But he only has, like, a little nub of a tail, God bless him. But he's absolutely massive and he definitely beats the shit out of the other cats.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That are around the park, and that's why they're all emaciated as well.
That little fat bastard.
Yeah, cats are cunts.
I mean,
specifically at Winnie, who's an arsehole.
I was going to say especially fucking Luna.
No, Luna's actually
whatever about poor Winnie.
Winnie's a bastard and I'm in such a cold war with him at the minute. I swear to God. I was in my, Luna has like a little bed like up on top of like these drawers, right, in my room. So she was sleeping in her little hut and she was comfy out, right? And I was trying to organise my room, like I'd put on a load of washing and shit like that, right? So I was organising my stuff and Winnie goes over and he starts being an arsehole and he's like pure like clawing at the bottom of the presses being like, oh, I'm going to come up and get ya, I'm going to come up and get ya. And I was like, Winnie, fuck off and stop being a dickhead. Like, that's actually how I talked to him. I was like, stop being a bastard. So he was like, ooh, and then like ran away and like got under the bed and was like lying in wait, basically not even hiding. He was just like, I'm gonna chill here until you forget about me and then I want to come back. So that was fine. I told her, I said, don't fucking start. Then he ran past me and tried to do it again in front of me, so I picked it up by the armpits and I was like, Winnie, fucking stop. And he glared at me, put his ears back and everything. He was like, I'm gonna fucking beat the shit out of you, right? So I was like, fuck you. But then I was like, this is fine, right, I need to go. And he started attacking the inside of the curtains then, starting on me, like being like, fuck you. So I was like, whatever, I went up to the washroom to put on my clothes. So I go up to the washroom, come back, and Winnie is at Luna again, right? He's clawing at the bottom of the presses again. Oh, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna fucking kill you, right? And in a not a very proud moment, I lied on the floor behind my bed, because I was like, I'm gonna fucking catch him in the jump now, I'm gonna scare the shit out of him now. So I was lying on the floor of my bedroom, like, waiting for him for, like, a half an hour, and he didn't come back because he obviously knew I was there.
But, oh, my God.
Yeah, me and Winnie did be fighting.
That is
He's actually not a, like, he's not a nice person. Like, Luna's actually sound. She's just bitchy. Winnie's actually a dickhead. And Enya's going to disagree because he's her cat, but he's bad-minded.
Oh, Winnie is. Winnie's the one that bit the shit out of you that time.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I did scare the shit out of him, but I was only trying to save his life, so...
Yeah, in fairness.
For anyone who doesn't know the story, Winnie got out when he was only a kitten and he was a rescue, so it was my fault he got out in the first place because he, like, slipped out past me. He was so fucking quick. So I took out and, like, try and... And catch him and get him back in case he, like, you know, went missing or whatever. And Enya wasn't home, so I was like, fuck. And I was never really close to him because he was really funny about people. He was only close to Enya. So I went outside and I was, like, trying to find him. So I went out and I got some ham and I was like, Winnie, Winnie. And then when I found him, I caught him. But I obviously scared him and he went fucking ape. And he started, like, he kind of screamed and started clawing me and biting me and scratching me. Like, he bit me really badly. Like, loads of times. So I was holding him and he was going sick and I was screaming and I was crying because I was like, this is so painful, but I can't let him go because he's going to run away and he definitely won't come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was really traumatising for both of us. Yeah, that was my fault, to be fair to him.
I mean, somewhat, but still, like, he massacred you. Like, it's not even that you got bit and scratched. Like, you got torn to fucking shreds. There was cuts everywhere. There was
to shreds.
All over you. Like, you were ribbons by the time he was done with you.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
We were fair sure you were going to get fucking sepsis from that.
Yeah.
First question, when was your last tetanus?
When I was like 12.
You were so lucky that nothing ever actually happened then?
Yeah, true actually. I'm always grand though. Like, stuff like that doesn't really happen to me.
Me, then I got bit by a cat once and nearly fucking died. Literally.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lizzie had a shower and nearly died of septicemia.
I have my scar still.
Man, that was...
You can't see it.
Same.
I have it. It's right there.
You can see mine too. I would show you mine, but I'm currently lying down and I don't feel like moving. But rest assured, it is there.
I actually have a couple of them because I did it a few times. But that one is, like, specifically bad because I remember that day I actually already passed out.
Especially deep.
I actually already passed out because I was in the shower for a while at the time. So my blood was like, I feel like when you're warm, your blood is thinner. I don't know if that makes sense, but it does in my head. I nearly died.
I mean,
it was shameful, like.
That just should never have been a worry.
And the way she took money out of our deposit for that fucking thing.
And it, her fucking, oh, actually, I don't even want to talk about that rancid old bitch because I will honestly, I'm in foul form and I do not want to talk about her because I'm honestly liable to fucking.
We'll have to go back over her.
Something's going against the wall. Stupid bitch.
I can feel the vibes that you're in bad humour today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but definitely concerned because we are not about to talk about fun stuff and I'm fully prepared for...
No, but
Lizzie's
funny when she gets in bad form because she gets extra right? mad. Because she's not in bad form, like, yet. She's in, like, that form where she's like...
That's the pinnacle part, yet. If you're not in full bad form now, you will be by the time I'm done with this fucking episode because I was raging writing these notes, like... And not even because of him. Half because of him. But, like, not even totally because of him. So, yeah, we're not going to be too happy after this. So, if anyone has any, like, good news, apart from pigeons not getting to nut before they die and cats fucking starting wars, if we any good news at all.
No.
I have all your presents, Scott, if that counts.
That counts.
I mean, I'm still waiting on, like, I have something that's, like, kind of a group thing that I'm still waiting on. But aside from that, yeah. I mean, does that count as good news? I don't really think it does. I feel like that's just middling. That's just information.
I mean...
More so than good news, you know what I mean? That's just like a FYI vibe.
It's a simple fact of life. I mean, having your Christmas presents sorted before the month of December is always good news.
It's also unlike me.
Yeah, actually, you are usually the queen of last minutes and you'd be panicking. Because you're like, the stuff hasn't come yet. It hasn't come yet. And it's like a week before Christmas and you're shitting yourself. So that's good news. I'm counting it. Preparedness is good news. Fucking, we're clutching at straws, lads. This is getting desperate. And I'd love to weigh in, but I actually have no good news myself.
I mean, no offense, but like, none of us really ever have good news, do we?
No, we're just a band of fucking misfortunes, to be honest.
Like, when was the last time any of us had good news?
The one time where... I had, like, full crackhead energy because I was feeling well again.
Yeah. So that's Savannah's. When was the last time I had good news? Actually good. That wasn't, like, predisposed. That the information beforehand, like, as in it's, like, something really bad happened. But then it kind of ended out, okay, that doesn't count.
True. Because I was going to say, like, the day you got single was really... that was good news.
But it wasn't because it was more like a, well, thank fuck situation. And also, that was like a year ago. No, it's a year and a half ago. See? We don't be having good news,
guys. Oh my
god,
we're actually tragic, lads. This is fucking...
Yeah, genuinely, when you think about it, we actually don't ever have good news. Lizzie going to Dubai, I feel like, was good news.
Yeah, definitely. That was a win without any, like, misfortune leading up to it.
Yeah.
I think.
True.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's where it stopped.
I think that was your first and only, probably. I don't remember the last time I had.
And even, like, by your logic, my good news doesn't count either, because it's just like, I'm less miserable than I used to be.
Exactly. Well, no, yours does count because it is, like, it's not, like, I feel like yours does count for some reason.
Even though it was, like, years of illness leading up. To be quite honest, I'm not actually any better off. I just, my body is better at fighting it than it was 7 months ago.
Which, I mean, it's had enough time to practice.
It has. It has.
Like, come
truly.
On. Like, why are you still struggling? Like, this isn't a surprise. It's like shocked every day. Like, this is like, oh, this is not new news.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what I bet it actually is? It's the memory loss. My whole body forgets that I'm sick every morning. So it wakes up and it's like, oh, Jesus. That's why it takes me 2 hours to defrost. Like Michael Bublé in the wintertime. Ready to release a new Christmas album.
I have my classroom decorated for Christmas. I have a Christmas tree and all. I have the kids terrified that if they touch it that I'm calling the police. And I've started doing this. Like, I'll start, like, making the noises. And so they're like, do please outside. And I'm like, yeah, they are. Because I told you, so I'm going to touch my Christmas tree. Which,
does that count?
It'll fall on top of them and then they'll be fucking destroyed.
I mean.
So they need to fucking listen to me.
Honestly. Honestly. I don't blame you.
Other than that. But yeah. That's the one because my little lad keeps on singing Twinkle, Twinkle, or Twinkle. And I was like, oh, Jesus in the fucking manger. It's Christmas time. I'm delighted.
I saw this thing today and it reminded me of you, Lizzie. Probably you, Savannah, you probably can relate. But it was like, we all have memories on stairs. And it was like others and it was like a couple kissing on a stairwell. And then it was like me and it was just this man like rolling down a flight of stairs. And I was like, so relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've fallen down so many stairs more than it's actually, more than it's probably normal.
I fall up.
Yeah, me. Like, I've fallen down, but I fall up more.
I've fallen down a few times, but I'll fall up every time.
Yeah, I also have short people problems. No, you're right. It's just short people problems. Like, I have a really long dressing gown, so when I walk up the stairs, I stand on it and send myself flying every fucking time.
It reminded me of one of my worst, most embarrassing moments ever in my whole life. I was getting on the bus to go to my grad in my, you know, floor length fucking maxi dress. And the lad, he was funny, but like, I went to primary school with him, and he was behind me, and I was getting on the bus, and I stood in the hem of the dress, and he laughed. And I tripped going up the stairs in my fucking ball gown.
Of course.
Mortifying.
Of course. Why wouldn't you, like?
I went for an MRI yesterday, right? And they had me lie on my front, okay?
Okay.
First of all, I was told, the lady in there was really nice, by the way. It's a whole long story. I'm not going to get into it because we're already, like, 15 minutes in and I'm going to waste a lot of time telling you the story. It's not important. But anyways, she was lovely. But I was supposed to have music in my headphones. I was pure stressed and I was like, what am I going to ask for? That, like, I can't go in and be like, oh, fucking... One Direction, because what if like a bop comes on and I'm dancing inside and you have to be still? But then I'm like, I don't want to be like, oh, you decide, and they put on like what happened to Leah's brother, which is he listened to George Ezra for an hour. Like, I don't want that. So I was stressing. Then they never asked me and I never got to listen to no music, but it was fine because I just like dissociated for a half an hour. It was fine. But I can't sleep on my front because it fucks up my lower back, and I forgot about this, right? So I was lying on my front, arms up, and they were like, okay, blah, blah, whatever, half an hour, 40 minutes. And then they were like, okay, you can get up now. I moved my legs and the shot of pain that ran up my back was so unnaturally bad. And I was like, no. And there was two nurses and I was like, lads, I won't be a minute getting up now. You need to give me a second. I was like, I have a bad back, apparently. And they were like, it's okay. And I was like, no, lads, I can't move now. Give me a minute. They were like, okay. And then I had to get up. I had to literally get up on all fours and just wait for the pain to go away.
Oh.
And then they were like, okay. And then it wasn't even the pain went away. It was just like, okay, I can walk now. So I walked out of the room and went into the fucking change room to get dressed again. And because I was in one of those robes that ties in the front, so it was really embarrassing. But anyways, I went in there and then I had to just sit there and be like, wait for the pain to go away out of my back. I was like an old one. It was really embarrassing. It was really, really bad. Like, I can't explain to you how bad it was. It was so embarrassing. But yeah, anyways.
If it's any comfort, I'm going to physiotherapy for pretty much the same thing. I will give you my fucking tips that I've learned from physiotherapy to help with lower back pain.
It's just going to be do stretches. But like, I shouldn't lie on my front because of my lower back, because I think my hips, my pelvis is like tilted kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I overextend, we'll say.
Yeah, could be. I mean, it's little exercises and they're the least strenuous exercise in the world. But let me tell you, when I have the worst cramps in the sides of my arse cheeks from doing this physiotherapy, because like you don't feel like you're doing anything while you're doing it. It's the next day you get all the muscle pain like you've been in the gym. And I'm like, what the fuck? Because it's literally just like put a ball between your knees and very slowly lift your arse up. Or like lie on your side and like separate your knees. So like you lift your fucking thigh up off of your leg, the other one, while you're lying on your side. But like, again, as slowly as humanly possible. And yeah, you don't feel like you're doing anything, but it's working. It's working the muscle out. So I'm like, hopefully physio will help me get a fat ass and fix my hip dips as well. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, that'd be a vibe.
It's not like scoliosis specific.
Okay. Yeah.
But speaking of twisted things.
Savannah Spine and?
Yeah. And this motherfucker, we should probably get into it. I really don't want to because I know the rage that's coming and I'm fully here with you for the rage you're about to feel. But anyways, Robert Hansen, part two. Let's dive in. So I am skipping back a tiny, tiny bit, but we're going back slightly to 1971. And this is when his first child is born. And that actually seems to be, for some reason, what set him off on the path of murder.
Okay.
And like all of the, well, the shit that led up to the murder. But like literally when his child is born, like his fucking wife, Darla, she said as soon as Christy was born, he went really fucking distant. And like didn't care about the family anymore, like didn't want to spend time with them, and he was going out like hunting.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what he was fucking hunting, but anyways, we won't get into that.
I mean, you wouldn't question that though, to be fair, would you?
No, of course not.
That's like being like, your fella's going out fishing and then he's like, oh, I was actually killing people. You'd be like, well,
like, how was I meant to know that? Like,
yeah.
Genuinely, yeah, no blame on Darla's part here, not trying to say she knew, because she definitely didn't. But yeah, he like just had no interest in having a family, so I don't know why he made one.
I think it's just like keeping up appearances though as well.
You know? I think so too. The good family man vibe, because that absolutely saves his ass. And we'll get into that in a second. Because, so mad. Right, okay. So I think we talked already about the attempted abduction of Susie Heppard on the last episode.
You're saying names, man, and I don't know. I, to be honest, don't remember names.
That's very fair. I'm quite bad for that as well. But he saw her at a traffic light and they kind of like made eye contact while they were stopped at the light. And she smiled at him. And like all good men, he took this to mean she wants my cock. So he followed her home.
Yeah.
And he knocked at the apartment door and she was like in a towel because she was about to get into the shower. She opened the door thinking it was like someone for one of her roommates, whatever. And it was him. And she was like, what the fuck? Like, she recognized him from the traffic stop. And she was like, did he follow me home?
Well, obviously.
And he was, yeah, he was like Stutz McGee fucking trying to get through a sentence of telling her that he was looking for another apartment in the building. Lying, obviously. And he asked if he could use her phone book to look for the person that he was looking for, which makes no fucking sense. But she gave it to him anyway because he was already in her apartment. What could she do? When he was done with that, then he tried to ask her out on a date and she was like, no, lad, I'm already engaged.
Yeah.
And he fucked off then after that. She thought that was the end of it. It wasn't. He turned up outside her apartment again while she was walking out somewhere. I think she was going to run errands for her roommates and he tried to kidnap her. But she screamed at the top of her fucking lungs and that alerted like her neighbors and her roommates and they called the police straight away.
Good.
And he got her into the car. But the police showed up just as he was like about to take off with her. So he ran and she gave a perfect description of what he was wearing and everything. And they found a man walking with no jacket on in the middle of, I think it was November. So they were like, that's already sus. And it was Robert Hansen. And he tried to say that like, oh no, I was just coming to get a new fishing license or a new hunting license so I could hunt moose. But the office wasn't open and I started to feel dizzy. So I got out of my car and went for a walk. And like they found his gun that he tried to hold her hostage with. They found his hat and they found the jacket that he was wearing that she described to a T. And he was like, ah, yeah, they look like the clothes I have at home.
Yeah, I mean...
But anyway, so that's the sauce with Susie Heppard.
Yeah. And, like, did they not ask her to, like, identify... Like, did they not do a lineup or anything?
She identified him immediately. Immediately. And they brought, like... him back to her, and she was like, yeah, that's him. And they just held him on bond. They were like, well, like, nothing actually happened. And he had to go for, like, a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah.
And this was before he was diagnosed with the juvenile personality disorder. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Man was no more schizophrenic, but anyway.
No.
So they basically said that he would, like, have these episodes where he didn't remember what he had done. And that made it okay that he had tried to kidnap Susie at gunpoint.
Yeah.
So they just held him on bond. Nothing really happened to him for trying to kidnap Susie.
They definitely just thought he was a bit, you know, like, as in... They definitely just thought he was a bit of a fucking lunatic, as in, like, do you know?
Yeah, that's basically how they played it off, that he'd gotten a bit obsessed with her and went and took it too far.
Yeah.
So, nothing to worry about, like.
Anyways, I suppose, sure luck.
Yeah. So, after that is when he saw Barbara Field. It was pretty much the same thing. She was driving along and she went to go into a cafe. And he had followed her because he had seen her 6 days previous and he, like, started stalking her. Because he wanted to take her. And she was about to walk into a cafe because her car was foggy. She couldn't see out of her windscreen. And she wanted to leave the car running, go in, get a hot cup of tea. Like, by the time she was done having her hot cup of tea and she was warmed up, so was the car. And she would have been able to see out of her windscreen again to carry on her drive.
Yeah.
But she never made it into the cafe because he blocked the door, asked her on a date through his stutters. And she said no, so he pulled the gun on her. And told her if she screamed, then he'd shoot her. So she didn't. She complied. And she got into his car. This was December 19th. So it's like not that long after he fucking tried to fucking kidnap Susie. Yeah, he forced her into his car. And Barbara did her best to try and play nice with him. To try and keep herself alive. So she, like, complied with everything that he said. When he tied her up, he tied her so tight with leather shoelaces that it was hurting her. Like, it was starting to cut into her wrists. So she asked him to untie her from the back and, like, tie her hands in the front. So that it didn't hurt, but he refused.
Okay.
So, like, she stopped asking him for things then because he hit her when she asked for that. So, yeah, he made her undress as well before he tied her up.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm just... Oh, I don't know. It's just fucking irritating. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know, like, when you're in that situation, it's like a case of you kind of do just be like, okay, he's going to shoot me if I make noise or whatever. But I'm like... Don't ever just, like, if you ever have the fucking option, just don't get in the car with anyone. Let him shoot you.
Yeah.
Because
literally, I'd rather just be killed outright.
Like, he's not going to actually shoot you. Like, maybe he will, but you're better off because God fucking knows what's going to happen in a second location. Yeah. Do you know? I know. Genuinely. It's obviously like, I feel like when you're in the situation, it's so easy to say it when you're not, but when you're in the situation, I feel like you don't know what to do and you feel like maybe I'll have a chance. But,
yeah.
Do you know?
And as well, like, there was a lot of crime in Anchorage, but not like this. So it's not like anyone would have thought this would happen to them, you know?
Yeah, it's advice that you give after stuff like that has already happened.
Yeah. Like, for us now in 2022, when we're, like, seasoned on this kind of shit, it's easy. But back then, I guess, like,
it's one of those things you're like, I'll go along with him and maybe he'll let me go or I'll get a chance to get away.
Which was literally her reasoning. Yeah. Like, this poor girl, what she had to do, like, it's awful. But yeah, so he had made her undress and he tied her up and put her into the back. And she actually said there was a hammer lying right next to her. But because of the way she was tied up, she couldn't reach it in any way. And she was like, you know, she was contemplating murder, like, that weighed on her. She was like, but if I hit him, I might kill him and then I've murdered somebody. But if I don't kill him and he's doing this to other women... You know, that kind of thing. And then she was like, if I don't hit him hard enough, then God knows what he'll do to me then. And all of that kind of stuff. So either way, she couldn't reach this hammer. But that weighed on her for a long time. Because, but alas, so she's lying there naked in the back of the fucking car. And he pulls over at the side of the road. And he decides he's going to rape her right there and then in the middle of the fucking highway. So somehow... She manages to appeal to him to not do that. She's like, you know, I'm happy to go with you. Like, we're having a nice time together. Fucking bullshitting her way through as much as she can. She's like, I really don't want to do this in a car at the side of the road. Can we go to a motel? So she managed to win him around. And he asked for permission to rip her fucking bra off. And bless this girl, she said no because it was expensive and she'd just bought it.
No, because relatable.
Yeah,
man, can you just undo it? Like,
Yeah, so he allowed her to undo it herself so that at least she didn't, like, lose her expensive new bra.
What, because the boy fumbles couldn't undo it himself?
Probably.
Fuck off.
Or he just liked the fact that he was like, okay, she's... Do you know, she asked for him not to do it, so he still had some control over the situation.
But
if he
I also
made her
feel like, yeah, it's almost like... He definitely felt like it was, like, not consent, but you know what I mean? That it's she's taking it off herself because she, you know... It probably made him feel a little bit more, like... Wanted, I guess, or something.
Probably. Yeah. This is definitely, like, this is a huge, huge factor in it. We said it last episode that we weren't sure if he was, like, delusional enough to think that these women loved him. He was. He absolutely was.
Yeah, so her taking it off despite her saying, like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, like, her wanting to do something for him, wanting to please him. Dickhead. But anyways, so he did. He drove them to a motel. And he let her get dressed again, obviously. Can't just bring a naked woman all tied up in. That would have given him away.
Obviously.
But he kept her hands tied and he hid that with her coat. So nobody in the motel knew that she was there as a captive. It looked like he was just going in with a one. And when they went into the room, he made her take a bath and leave the door open so that he could watch her. And then when she was done... He made her lie in the bed and he tied her limbs to the four posts of the bed so that he could rape her. And then he undressed himself. And that's when she noticed his penis.
Oh my God, what about it?
She said she had never seen a penis like it in her whole life. That it was, even when fully erect, short, thick, and the tip of it was deformed.
So man had a chode.
He had a full chode.
But like a weirdly shaped one.
Like, worse than a chode because it was deformed as well. So, overcompensating is definitely, like, confirmed. Confirmed. That's what he was doing.
Like, yeah, okay. Okay, sure, look, listen.
So, yeah, it gets worse. Okay. She did not struggle enough for his liking. He said all the other girls... Now, he has raped people before this. He told her about the other girls that he raped... I just don't have any information on them. I don't know who they were.
Okay.
But yeah, so she wasn't struggling enough and he tried to get her to act, but she was terrified. So like she was frozen. She was, you know, she wasn't able to act up for him. So he wasn't able to bust a nut. So he gave up and he got frustrated. She tried to get herself out while he was asleep, but she couldn't. Like her forelimbs were fucking tied to the bed, so she couldn't move.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... After that, after he woke back up, he drove off into the wilderness, tried to drive her to the cabin, and he couldn't because it was snowed in and he was in a car that couldn't make it through the snow.
Okay.
So he got really frustrated at that point. Like she said, visibly, he was frustrated.
Yeah.
And he drove her off into the wilderness up on a cliff's edge and took her out of the car and he told her to start running. She knew full well what that meant. She knew she was going to be hunted if she ran and she was going to die. There was no way that she wouldn't. So she dropped to her knees and begged for her life. She was like, please, we've had such a good time together. Like, I thought we could go on a date after this and all of this. And
she fucking knew. That's one thing. She knew. You know when a lad is like delusional.
Yeah.
Like as in, yeah. We've all met one, right? And you know, like she knew when she met him that she was like, I can convince him that I want him.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because she figured that out, like she knew, like if she said the wrong thing, she got slapped with the butt of the gun. So she figured out kind of fairly early on into this encounter that like she needed to say the right thing if she was to survive.
Yeah.
So that's what she did. She dropped her knees. She begged him. She told him she had a young son at home that like, you know, it's all fine. She's not going to go to the police. And he was like, no, I can't let you go. You're going to go to the police. She was like, no, I hate cops. Her father was a fucking state trooper. So she was lying like, but... She told him, I hate cops. Look, you can take my wallet. All of my information is in it. All of my family's information is in it. You can take it. And that'll be your insurance that I won't go to the police. Because if I go to the police, you can come back and kill my whole family.
Yeah.
So that's what he did. He let her go. He took the information. He wrote it down on a piece of paper and put it into his wallet. And he let her go. When she got back to the cafe, her fucking car was out of gas. Because it had been left running since he took her.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So, yeah, she had to call her family and she couldn't really tell them what had happened to her. Just, I cannot imagine. She couldn't really, like, put it behind her. She couldn't move on. But she wasn't going to go to the police until 3 days later in the newspaper. It was announced that Celia Van Zanten had been found by the ravine. And this is the one we talked about last episode. Celia Van Zanten was found frozen to death in the wilderness, and he doesn't claim her as a victim.
Yeah.
The way Celia was found, she was found with her arms tied behind her back with speaker wire, and her chest had been ripped open by a knife.
Okay.
She had definitely been raped. There was bruising on her thighs and genitals, and later they found semen in her womb. And the worst part is, like, he definitely made her run, like he had planned to do with Barbara.
Mm.
And it seems that she fell into the ravine. She fell 50 feet into the ravine with her chest ripped open and her arms tied behind her back. And somehow she still managed to climb 20 feet back up the slope before she froze to death.
Yeah.
Naked. And how the fuck this woman managed to do what she did is, I don't know. So she, like, Barbara then, after reading about Celia, she was like, that's, like, it's too similar to what I went through.
Yeah.
There's no way Robert didn't do that. So she went and she told her father what happened. And her father then called the state troopers that were handling Celia's case and told them that they had a witness who thinks they know who their murderer was. So that was all fine. She gave the description. She picked him out of the mugshots. They pulled him in and they took his wallet and they found the piece of paper with Barbara's family's information on it. And they said, what's this? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know how that got in my wallet. And one of the investigators that was talking to him at the time, they tried to take it. But the other guy was like, no, we don't have a warrant. We can't take that yet. So they put it back in the wallet and they put the wallet in for evidence. But there was a rookie fucking cop. And as fucking Robert was being brought in for processing, he asked for his wallet back because he had money hidden inside in it and he needed the money. So they gave him back the wallet and he went to take the piece of paper out of it and crumbled it up and put it in his back pocket. And another cop took it, like, saw it.
Yeah.
Was like, what's this? Like, and he was like, I need that. Those are the people who are going to post my bail. So they gave it back to him. The one piece of evidence that linked him to what he did to Barbara, they gave it back to him and it was lost.
Sure, look, I don't know. Like, at the same time, like, okay, a rookie cop, like, fucked up. But at the same time, like, they shouldn't be in positions to fuck up. You know?
How about don't give a piece of fucking evidence back to a killer? Well, he wasn't a killer yet, but like a rapist who has been in for questioning, like anything that might seem like he's desperate to get it off you, keep it. Anyways, so I also don't see why they needed a warrant, but besides the point. So this went to trial.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed Barbara on the stand. His defense team basically said that Barbara was a prostitute. And that it was just like a deal gone wrong. She had wanted more money and he didn't want to give her more money and she was salty about it. So that's why she was accusing him of rape. And they brought her character into it. Now, she wasn't a prostitute at all. She never did prostitution, but she was a topless dancer as a way of supporting herself, which a lot of women in Anchorage were, because they were all led there with the promise of, like, they'd found oil in Anchorage at the time.
Yeah.
So a lot of people went to Anchorage thinking they would get really good jobs out of it. But by the time they got there, all of the good jobs were taken. And that forced a lot of women into either, like, stripping or straight prostitution. Yeah, as a means of supporting themselves, their families and stuff. So for the fact that they're looked down on for that alone is very fucking annoying. But either way, she was only a topless dancer. You know, neither here nor there. But she had lost custody of her son as well. They used that against her, that she was of like, bad moral character.
Why did she lose contact of her or custody, did they say? Or
That wasn't specified.
Okay.
If anything, it's probably drug-related.
I mean, yeah, I was just curious, like, but yeah. It's not, like, relevant, obviously.
Be my guess. Because I know, like, the father was a bit ashamed of the way the daughter had turned out kind of thing, because he was a respectable state trooper and then she'd gone and become a topless dancer and had a teenage pregnancy. I think she was like 17 when she gave birth to her son. Big shame, teen mother who can't even look after her child standing against this family man who had three people come in and vouch for his character that he was a great person. And there's no way he would have done something like this, including the reverend of their fucking church and his best friend who brought in his fucking ability as a hunter as a way of fucking justifying him. Explain that one to me.
Oh, I don't know. And I also feel like a priest shouldn't be allowed to testify.
No, because they're the biggest fucking liars in them all.
But people lie to them all the time. People pretend to be this, yeah, that, and the other on purpose. Like, and also, anything that's said in confession and all that kind of stuff, you can't be using anyways. So it's not like he
and
can...
And even at that...
It's not like he can give an honest answer anyways if he's not allowed to say some stuff.
Exactly. And even at that, Robert wasn't even the one going to fucking church all the time. It was Darla. It was Darla's reverend. And he was like part of the church community, but he never really went to mass, like. So I'm like, how can you vouch for someone then that's not even properly part of your congregation? But anyway, yeah, so they brought in then a psychologist, and again, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And they said that that led him to have these dissociative bouts where he would get violent and he had no memory of what he had done afterwards. Again, all he needed was counselling. He just needed counselling. Wasn't his fault. Man was sick. And they dropped Barbara's case. No charges were brought against him, even though they had gotten a warrant to search his house. Huh. They found a reel of speaker wire in this cunt's basement. And instead of taking the speaker wire to compare it to Celia, to what had been used to bind Celia, they rang Interpol to ask them if they knew what fucking make of speaker wire it might have been. And they were like, I don't know, it was manufactured somewhere in Asia.
And what is speaker wire? Like, what does it look like?
It's kind of, it's thick. It's, you know, like literally the back of your speakers. Like proper speakers, big ones. It's the really thick wire.
Okay.
That plugs into them.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they found a reel of that looked exactly the same as the one used to bind Celia, but the fucking police officers on site at the time thought that was inconsequential and didn't bother to take any of it, to sample it.
I don't know. So what do you even say, like?
So, yeah, because of that, he was never linked to Celia's murder either. And this is why I think he won't own up to Celia's murder. Not because he doesn't want to claim her, because just as a fuck you to Barbara. But alas, moving on. We're now on to his crimes in 74.
Okay.
These are just kind of quick ones because, again, there's not a lot of information about them. So it's just kind of naming names a bit. July 7th of 1974, 17-year-old Megan Emmerich disappears.
Okay.
And Hansen is a suspect in her disappearance, but she was never found and he was never charged. Then on September 16th, just September, I have no date for when this happened, but 16-year-old Layla, she's only known as Layla. I have no last name for her, I presume because of her age at the time. She was grabbed by Hansen when she was walking home from a party, and he forced her to give her oral sex as he held a gun to her head and then made her flash passing cars while they were on the highway. He wanted to pick up a second girl so that they could both please him, but he couldn't find another girl to pick up. After that, then he gave her the gun and was like, you can do what you want with this. You can kill me. You can force me to drive you to the police station, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And Layla was like, this is 100% a trap, because she just sat there looking at the gun. She was like, no, not doing anything with it. And that seemingly passed the test that he was trying to perform with her, and he let her go. She didn't go to the police. Like, he made the same deal he made with Barbara, that if she didn't go to the police, he'd let her live. So she didn't go to the police, but she did go home and tell her foster family what happened to her.
Yeah.
And the next day they went back to the foster home and asked for her to be taken out of their care.
No fucking way.
Yeah. Also, I realise I didn't write this in my notes and I meant to. When he was done with Barbara, after he dropped her off,
yeah,
he turns around to her and he goes, I wish we'd met under different circumstances.
I mean, same.
But yeah, so she got rehomed. Then on July 5th in 1975, we have 23-year-old Mary Kay Thill. And she disappeared while her husband was away at work, and he offered up like €1,000 reward for any information about her. She was never found again. Nobody, nothing. In 1975, again, I have no date, he kidnaps a topless dancer from the Kit Kat Club and drove her to the middle of nowhere and raped her in multiple ways. Again, forced her to give him oral sex, forced himself on her for oral sex, full-blown rape. And then he let her go, say, like, literally mocking her, saying, you wouldn't be a good character witness against me anyway. Because after Barbara, he figured out that if he took women of low moral standing,
yeah,
the police wouldn't touch him.
Yeah.
So that's it. He was literally bragging about the fact that even if she reported him,
she wouldn't be believed.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he wasn't wrong. Like, we saw it with the fucking toy box killer. We saw it with how many women came forward about him saying that this happened, but because they were sex workers or had drug problems, yeah, or whatever, they weren't believed.
One literally covered in blood, fully naked. And her whole husband left her because he didn't believe her. Like, I don't know why we don't expect anything different. But he was right. Because she tried to be a good witness against him. She memorized his fucking license plate and gave it to the police and reported him. And she ID'd his picture, like, in amongst other mugshots. She ID'd him as her attacker.
Mm.
But he said, it was just a prostitute trying to get more money out of him. And the case was dropped. He was like, sure, I didn't hurt her. So... what did I do wrong? So this is already like how many, like the 10th woman to come forward and say this man has kidnapped and raped me. And they're still like, our Rob, not our Bobby. Never. So now in 1976, he did finally get arrested.
Okay.
For stealing a chainsaw. Because somewhere between the years of like now and 1968, I think, he got plagued, as the book described it, which I'm like, why are you giving a man any sympathy for anything at all? Plagued with kleptomania.
Plagued with kleptomania. Shut the fuck up.
Like, oh, it was such a struggle for him to need to steal things. And like, he got fired from a bunch of jobs before this that we didn't go into. It's not important, but like, he's been a klepto for a while now and he's been fired a bunch for stealing. And like, I think he did do another 3 month stint in prison for stealing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so now we're up to the fucking chainsaw. And this motherfucker, right? So he tried to wiggle his way out of it again with a psychologist because he'd seen that the doctors were getting him off. So he brought in a psychologist again to vouch for him that he was just mental, basically, and it wasn't his little fault. But this psychologist actually did their job and they diagnosed him as a schizophrenic narcissist with an antisocial personality. And that didn't help him. So he fired that fucking doctor and got a different one. After the psychologist angle didn't quite work, he decided to say that, right, he had stolen the chainsaw or had tried to steal the chainsaw because his father needed one. And his father wouldn't take his, like, Bob's chainsaw off of him. So he wanted to get him a new one for Christmas. But because their second child, Johnny, had just been born and they had just moved house, all of their money was, like, tied up in that. So they couldn't afford a chainsaw. But he fucking really wanted to get it for his dad. And then he had gone to the hardware store to have a look at the chainsaws. And he walked back out. And as he was walking back out, didn't a native man have a heart attack in front of him? And he thought of his own father who had had a heart attack previously. And he thought, well, if I don't get the chainsaw now, I'll never be able to get it for him because he's going to spontaneously die. So that was his reasoning for trying to steal the chainsaw, because he had seen a man having a heart attack. But what had actually happened is he went in to steal the chainsaw, found a receipt on the ground and thought if he walked out with the chainsaw and the receipt in hand, then the security wouldn't check him. The receipt was for $11. The chainsaw was $200.
$200 for a chainsaw? That's a lot.
Yeah. Is it?
Is it not?
I would have thought that was probably about right for a chainsaw.
I feel like that's a lot, no? Yeah, they're only like, you get a cheap one for like $50 now.
Fair enough.
I suppose like, I mean, they were in such high demand in fucking Anchorage where everyone is cutting down trees, so you can afford to charge more.
Yeah, and it was probably like a really good brand one as well or whatever.
Yeah, like,
you know,
I just googled chainsaw cost and they're all between $55 and 160.
Huh. Yeah. I suppose, yeah, cheaper now, less demand, and they're not so new. Everything's expensive when it's new.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so he'd seen this man having a heart attack and it reminded him of his father, so he just had to turn back around and go back in and nick this chainsaw. The new doctor that he had brought on diagnosed him with bipolar. Okay. So my overall feeling from this is there was nothing at all mentally wrong with this man. He was just a sad sack. How many fucking diagnoses can you get? How many? Narcissistic personality? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Short dick syndrome? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The infantile personality? Sure.
Yeah.
But schizophrenic and bipolar, was he not? But they diagnosed him with bipolar. Said that that was the real cause of his violence and kleptomania. And that he was a good, hard-working family man otherwise. So he shouldn't be punished too harshly. And he was sentenced to 5 years, but they considered him such a good man that they reduced it because he wouldn't have been able to get the psychiatric care that he needed in the prison that he was sent to. So he only did 2 years there. And after he did his 2 years there, he was paroled. But there was no parole fucking parameters set. So he was basically left off to do whatever the fuck he wanted with no one checking in on him whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even though he already had a fucking a violent past at this point. So, yeah, he was paroled in August 1978. It was at that point then that even though he couldn't have a pilot's license because of his past lithium prescriptions, it didn't stop him buying a Super Cub, which is a small two-seater single-engine plane, and a new 223 caliber Ruger Mini 14, which he said could do multiple rapid fire shots and was accurate over long distances.
Okay.
So he was allowed to do all of these things.
Because why wouldn't afterwards. He be like Sherlock?
Of course. Why not? And now we have my absolute fucking hero of the story. There's always one hero and it's her. October 1979, Hansen attempted to take Christy Hayes, a young black woman who also got stuck having to work as a topless dancer to survive after being lured to Anchorage with the thoughts of getting a good job. She was giving him a dance and he flashed a wad of cash at her, basically saying, you know, if we do the nookie nookie, you can have all this money. And as a woman in desperate need of money, she went, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So she was finished her shift in 20 minutes. She said she'd meet him in the car park afterwards. And they did. And they got into the back. He had like a camper van this time. They were in the back and she was like about to give him a blowjob.
Yeah.
And that's when he pulled the gun on her and tried to grab her by the hair. But he wasn't expecting her to be wearing a fucking wig. And that threw him for a loop for a second. So she realized like, oh, fuck. But he could react faster than she could at that moment. Because like, obviously, you're not about to see a fucking gun in your face when you're about to fucking suck dick, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so he got her, like he made her undress at gunpoint like he does, and he tied her up with snare wire, so the kind of like animal trapping wire, which ow, like snare wire of all things, like thin fucking wire that's actually going to cut if you struggle against it.
It's quite harsh, like it's quite rough as well.
Yeah, he tied her up with snare wire and she starts screaming. She starts fucking hollering at the top of her lungs, hoping someone inside the club will hear her. So he panics and launches himself from the back of the fucking camper into the front of it to drive off. But he made a big mistake by doing that because she was still alone on her own in the back and she'd managed to undo her arms. So she got herself free from the ties and she was baiting on the window, screaming and shouting for anyone to hear her. So he stopped, obviously, then trying to fucking, well, shut her up first and calm her down. So he slammed on the brakes.
Yeah.
And he sent her flying and she smashed her head open off at the front of the fucking cabin.
Okay.
That didn't even stop her. Nothing was stopping this fucking woman. She rushed as soon as he stopped the car. She knew he was coming, like he got out. So she rushed and locked the door into the back so he couldn't get in. Yeah. And then she threw herself into the front and locked the other two doors. But the driver's side window was down. This is honestly, I can see this whole thing happening. Like it's such a fucking event.
Yeah.
The driver's seat window was down. So he stuck his hand in trying to unlock the door and she's frantically trying to crank up. For young people who don't know, there was a time before electric windows and you had to manually fucking turn this cunt up. So that's what she's trying to do.
Yeah.
She's cranking it up and she traps his arm in the window, but he's already gotten the door unlocked at this point and he smashes the fucking window, pulling his arm out of it and opens the door and like pulls her out of the cab and throws her to the ground. But she is on it like a car bonnet. She's fucking quick. She's gone like Forrest Gump. She goes taking off fucking running. He didn't get her far enough out of town. So at this point, he's like, do you know what? She's not even worth it. He just lets her go.
Yeah, he's a fucking effort. Like,
yeah, like he didn't have a hope against her. He didn't. At least he had the fucking cop on to admit that to himself. She ran back to town.
Yeah.
And he just dumped her clothes out so that she wouldn't be ever linked to him and drove off. And nothing ever really came of that. After Yeklutna Annie was murdered, he went back into the club that she changed her job. She changed to a different club, but he went into that club where she worked and she changed her wig. So he didn't even recognize her anymore.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, that's how little notice he even took of the people that he fucking kidnapped. Like, how does he obsess over someone when he can't remember how they look afterwards? But anyways, he didn't recognize her. She sure as shit recognized him and his fucking pothole face. So she launched herself off of the stage and started clawing the shit out of his face. He basically like denied everything. And since there was no proof that she had ever been kidnapped or whatever, because she'd never went to the police about it, obviously, because she knew she wouldn't be believed.
Yeah.
Nothing happened there either. Like, she was just a crazy who went mental and like she had put her prices up and he refused to pay them. So she attacked him.
Okay.
So nothing came of that as well. Shock, horror. I know.
Hard You're bamboozled. To believe, yeah.
Don't tell me. Finally, just on the catch up between fucking 73 and 79, between the murder and the discovery of Yeklutna Annie, Hansen meets Joanne Messina at the docks down in Seward, I presume is how it's pronounced.
Okay.
And not Seward, I presume it's Seward, in the spring of 1980. And this is where, like I said, it's like confirmed that he fully thought these women like loved him. This confirms it. Because she was there at the docks. She'd only really just recently come into Anchorage. She'd, you know, she'd had a job. She'd had a messy relationship and stuff. So she just moved to start a new life. She was tall. She was beautiful. She was really polite to him.
Yeah.
And like, he thought that, like the way it's described is that she smiled at him and he looked at her as if it was genuine. So they're vibing. She's got her dog with her. She's explaining, you know, they're looking for somewhere to live. She doesn't have a job yet. She was hoping she could get a job down on the docks, kind of working as like a receptionist, basically, for the fishmongers. And so he thought she was great. Like, he thought she was wonderful, because he said women were either goddesses to be protected, or what did he describe them as? Like something like trash to be taken care of or something like that. I can't remember the second part, but like, it was either women were fucking fantastic or they were the lowest of the low. They were below him, and it was prostitutes and topless dancers who would have been below him. Because Joanna never really said that she was working prostitution at the time or anything like that, he thought she was just this really lovely woman, a saint among saints. He was mad in love with her.
Yeah.
From get-go. So they get into his camper. They're going off driving and whatever. They're just, you know, they're vibing. They're having the chats the whole time. The dog is with them. And she turns around to him and makes the biggest mistake she could have made, and said that since she didn't have a job, they could go and have some real fun if he had the money. And he didn't say anything, but he said that he obviously was visibly annoyed about it. And she offered again. And that's when he went into full rage mode. And she thought this whole time that this was known. She thought this was the point, and that they were driving off to go and have sex for money. And now he no longer wanted to pay. So she went mad.
Okay.
And started screaming at him to drive her back. Yeah, they ended up getting into a fight, and he pushed her back into the car, and he shoved $5 in her face and says, as far as fucking money goes, here's all you're worth.
Take your shitty fiver and shove it up your cheap hole, you cunt. That's what I would have said, except I would have been, no, I wouldn't have, because I would have probably been a bit scared, but I would have thought it. Fuck you. Yeah. Who the fuck does he think he is?
As far as money goes, here's all you're worth. Fuck.
Says the man who can't afford a fucking chainsaw.
With your fucking deformed chode.
Oh, God. I'd be murdered so bad. Because I don't know when to shut my fucking mouth. And no. That would be one of those times I would say something that would get me absolutely fucking obliterated. Did you not just tell me that you couldn't afford a chainsaw? Or was that someone else? Sorry.
Do you know what I mean? Yes, so she was like, fuck this. This man's not going to let me out alive. So she did what any of us would have done in that situation. She took off running. She's
fucking dead right.
But he managed to catch up with her. He hit her with the butt of the gun. And she still tried to fight him back. She was clawing at his face. So he shot her. And that was it. She was dead. He had to figure out what to do with her dog. And instead of just releasing this poor baby, he shot the dog. Like, double disrespect, you're going to kill me and you're going to kill my dog? But, yeah, for whatever reason, he didn't bury the dog, but he, like, placed the dog and her belongings that she'd left in the camper further into the woods. But her actual body he left on the side of the highway in a gravel pit. Later on in that year, the body was discovered, but when troopers turned up, an enormous fucking black bear was tearing up what was left of Joanne's body.
That's what I don't understand. Why is he hiding the bodies? You don't have to when there's fucking animals like that roaming the fucking forestry.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Why did he leave her on the side of the highway instead of putting her into the forest?
With the dog.
Or that bear would have got her anyway, with the dog.
And just leave her there. And then, I mean...
Double the death to draw the fucking animals to the area, like... I don't get... This is what I'm saying. He must have wanted them to be discovered. Like, he claims later on that he did things to make sure the bodies weren't discovered.
No,
but I think that was just because he was getting older.
Like, nearly excited, like, oh, I'm getting away with it. Just like, even the whole thing with the note being given back to him, that definitely gave him such a rush that he's like,
oh, definitely,
you know, I was so close, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because the police have told him basically at this point that he can get away with it.
They've basically given him permission, so, in his head, probably
legit, not even in his head, as far as I'm concerned, they've given him permission.
Yeah,
it's fucking dickheads. Yeah, so black bears are a protected species. So they couldn't do anything. They just had to stand there and watch this bear decimate the woman's body until he was done.
You absolutely could have ran over and been like, arms up in the air. Woo.
Oh, they tried. They tried, and the bear went to attack them. So they backed the fuck off. I'm still thinking a few shots in the air might have done something. But listen, am I expecting any sort of brain cell to
throw
be bouncing between these police officers?
You don't have to fucking kill it. Like, why is the first solution death? You're a bunch of men. Rush the fucking cunt and he'd run off. He would. It's a black bear. They're cowardly as shit. If it was a brown bear now or a grizzly, I'd be like, do you know what? Have at it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just shoot a fucking shot or two up into the air. The cunt will run.
If you got 10 men and ye all ran at it in this big group, I'm telling you.
Yeah, or literally, like, put another fella up on your shoulders so that you're massive.
Stack three children and put on one big trench coat.
Trench coat. One adult, please.
Come on, like, I'm sorry. Like,
legit.
You live in fucking Alaska and... Okay, well, maybe... See, I don't... They must have tried this because... Like, they must have tried.
Surely. And the conscious ignored them. Because it did say, like, they did try and approach it and they tried to scare it off and stuff, but it didn't work. And the bear started going for them, like, defending its food, obviously. So they just had to stand back and wait for it to be done. And by the time they did, there was less than half of her body left. So it's like, it wasn't even worth anything.
Do they not
like,
have,
all fucking
like,
evidence destroyed?
Could they not, like, shoot them up with a, like, a...
Surely park rangers have the tranks for shit like this happening, exactly. Like. Yeah. Surely. Like, I'm sure there's, like, incidents where, like, you know, the bears wander into fucking villages and shit or communities and they need to knock it out and get it away from the population. That has to be a thing.
It has to be. I don't believe that it's not. Maybe it was too much effort or something.
I don't either. Yeah. There is one detective, and obviously I'm not going to get into much into the people who broke the case. That's more for Cuiva's episode.
Okay.
But Detective Maxine Farrell. She had started taking notes on all of these missing women because she was like, okay, fair enough, prostitutes and stuff, they do live a vagrant lifestyle. They have to move to keep ahead of the law. They have to move to find new clientele, so on and so forth. But even she thought this is beyond just normal transient lives.
Yeah.
There's way too many women going missing. So she started keeping tabs on it and she started thinking this is a serial killer. Like, this isn't just unrelated events. But as we said... Sexism in Anchorage was rampant and it was against her because so many of her co-workers and like the other men around Anchorage thought that she had no business being a detective, that she should be at home starting a family. So they didn't take her seriously at all when she was trying to like say, look, there's more to this case. They were like, ridiculous. It's absurd to say that this is the work of a serial killer. It was pretty much just her. Like, there wasn't even a female locker room in the station. They had never intended to hire a woman. That, like, just to make it clear how much they did not give a fuck about women. Just so we're clear on that.
I mean, it's not a surprise.
No. No, I'm not shook at all,
I mean,
to be honest,
so specifically
by this.
For women who are apparently, you know, worthless for due to being sex workers and all that kind of stuff. Like, that definitely doesn't help.
Exactly. Yeah.
If they exactly were all married that. Women, they would have had... much more like innate value immediately.
100%. They were only demoralized by what they were forced to do to survive. And as well, then Maxine herself was demoralized because she wasn't staying at home cooking fucking pies for her husband and bearing 85 children for him.
Exactly.
She was out trying to have a career and solve crime.
And sure, like,
how could she?
Place, like.
So yeah, no one really took her seriously, but there was three other men who were kind of with her, who were secretly investigating it as a serial killing as well. So they are key to the case being broken. But again, that is all for Cuiva's episode on how he gets caught. But it's just so we know, there was actually some people trying to do genuine police work. They were just being fought back by the entirety of their force. Maxine had started, like, she started basically a whole board of all of the women disappearing and stuff and trying to link them and connect them. After she started that, like, she realized just how bad the disappearances were because they continued into 1980. So we have Roxanne Easland, June 28th, 1980. She was taken. She disappeared. No sign of her ever again. Lisa Futrell in September of 1980. She disappeared. No sign of her. February 18th, 1981. Molly Casey, Michelle Strong and Maria Schmidt all disappeared from the Wild Cherry Club.
Holy fuck.
And were never seen again.
Were they friends?
Three in one go. They all, well, friends and co-workers, I think. Because a lot of them as well, they would have lived in the same housing and stuff. All the girls that would have worked these places. Like, they would have worked with their sisters kind of thing. They would have lived with them. Not actual sisters, but, you know, sisters and fucking having to do bullshit. Then Malai Larson disappeared in late June of the same year of 1981. And then on November 17th, 1981, Sherry Morrow disappeared after her roommate Susan dropped her off for a date with Robert Hansen. The roommate Susan had said she got instant bad vibes off of Robert. Yeah. He was trying to get her, like, he offered her money to come on a flight with him in his plane because he had switched a bit from the, like, he would do still the vehicle kidnappings, but he also took some of them in his plane. And it was about this point as well that he was killing so many of them that he had to mark their grave sites on his flight map, which again what we discussed with Celia was that she was marked on his flight map, so tell me how he didn't kill her.
Yeah, like, he obviously did, like.
Susan went straight to the fucking police afterwards because Sherry never came home, and she knew straight away shit was up. Like, she was like, it was him, he took her, he killed her, something. Like, she got bad vibes off of him straight away, but Sherry was naive. She said she was very naive, very sweet, and she wanted to give him a chance because she thought that he was a nice guy. And he had offered her, obviously, again, a broke woman trying to make money. He had offered her $300 to take naked pictures of her. So, of course, she said yes.
Yeah.
And they met up for a date, and there's not much detail on how he took her or anything like that, but he basically just one shot killed her, just shot her once and buried her in a shallow grave when she tried to fight him, because he didn't like being fought, so he would kill them quicker basically if they tried to fight him. And she wore an arrowhead necklace,
yeah,
at all times. It had been given to her by either a current boyfriend or an ex-boyfriend, and he took that off of her, and that was the first time, as far as we know, that he took a trophy from a murder victim before he buried her. Now, this is the last murder I'm going to cover for today, yeah, but it was sometime after Sherry, so not a long time. It was still in 1981. Again, we have Andrea Altieri, and she went to the mall for a date with Robert Hansen. So it's not really known exactly how he managed to take her from such a public place, but he did, and he bound her and blindfolded her. She complied with all of his disgusting sexual requests, which included, I said this before we got into the podcast, I hadn't really planned on bringing it up, but she basically became famous only because she had a large chest, and she was known for being busty. And after Robert's arrest, like, he didn't even remember her name. He asked them, he was like, oh, was she the real big-chested one? So he was obviously obsessed with the fact that she had large breasts. So part of his thing was he was constantly making her let him, like, grope her chest. And she had pretty much had enough. Like, he forced her to give him oral sex, played with her chest again, and back to playing with her chest. So she'd had enough, and she was trying her best to, like, comply and be polite and whatever and just get out of this alive. But she asked if she could step out to relieve herself, and he had untied her at this point because she had earned his trust a little bit. So they both got out and went in opposite directions to go take a piss. Andrea saw her chance because Robert had left his gun on the bonnet of the car. So she ran and tried to get the gun, but he heard her running and realized what she was running for. So he ran for the gun as well. And the two of them ended up, like, he had the barrel, she had the fucking handle, and they were struggling to get the gun. Obviously, he overpowered her and twisted the gun out of her hands. He didn't shoot her, though, straight away, which is kind of unusual, yeah, for him. He threw the gun back up onto the bonnet, and they ended up in a physical fight then, like a hand-to-hand fight. And she went, fucking hero, trying her best. She went underneath his glasses and tried to claw his fucking eyes out.
Fucking fair play.
Yeah, she went straight for the eyeballs and started kicking him as hard as he could, as hard as she could, to try and, like, basically, she was trying to beat the fuck out of him. In the meantime, he managed to reach for the gun and he shot her dead. And then he took a foldable shovel out of his boot and a duffel bag, and he dug up gravel with the shovel, filled the duffel bag with it, tied it to Andrea's body, and then threw her over a bridge and into a river so that she would never be found again. And she never was. Like, that river claimed her body. That was it. She was gone.
Yeah.
But not without taking a pearl ring and a fish charm necklace that she wore always. Like, her nickname was Fish because of this charm necklace. So yeah, he took those two as trophies off of the body. And that's where I'm going to leave off, because if I don't leave off there, there will be no content for the next episode. There's a couple more murders, but they're not as detailed as the ones I've just gone through there anyway. So you shouldn't have too much of a hard time, Cuiva. Okay.
Should we see?
He did mark all of these people that I talked to as well on his map, but he, like, even he said himself, he killed so many that there's some grave sites that, like, the police would never find. He wouldn't be even able to find them at this point.
He's so fucking irritating.
Right.
Like, fucking, what do you even say to that? Like, okay, hard man.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Like, he's saying it, like, and I know he's saying it in a way of, like a humble brag.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, there's so many, even I couldn't find them. And there's also another thing I missed out, you know, when you're trying to decide what information is fucking prevalent and what isn't. With Celia Van Zanten, they had found donut loops around where she had gone missing, like where she had fallen. So it was obvious that whoever had killed her or tried to kill her was looking for her, which plays more into the fact that fucking Bob was hunting her. I'm raging I couldn't find anything about the other girl to prove that he definitely killed her too, but or well, let her freeze to death, but still it was because of him.
Yeah, I mean,
but like,
it was him, like, do you know,
like, there's no way he didn't kill Celia, and as you can tell, he was definitely being experimental with the knife. Oh, and as well with Eucluton Annie, one last thing of disrespect, it was her own fucking knife that he killed her with.
That's so irritating.
It was her own knife, and he lodged it in her spine. We were wondering as well where the stab wounds were, like how quickly she would have died. Not that quick. It was in her spine. He lodged the fucking knife into her spine.
So he paralyzed her.
And left her bleed out. So that's all the extra information I was able to find. But yeah, he was a real piece of shit.
Massively.
And he's not done yet.
No.
This isn't like the amount that I'm after going through there. I don't even know how many victims I covered there. But, like, he'd been reported so many times. So many. I don't care. If you get fucking 5 prostitutes all coming to you saying that this man is a rapist, you might want to start believing them, prostitute or not.
Yeah, but they're probably like, what's a rapist among sex workers? Like,
yeah.
Do you know?
True. And he has a whole wife at home this whole time, like.
That's always the way. They always do. And I just don't know how. I suppose they were probably just sure. The wife was probably just fucking happy he wasn't at home, because he was definitely a piece of shit at home as well.
Yeah. Like, as far as I know, he was never violent towards her, but he was real fucking mean.
Yeah, so she was probably just glad he wasn't there.
I would say so.
Somebody else's fucking.
She said, like, this was saying, after Chrissy was born, or Christy? Christy, I think, was the child's name. The first child, their daughter. After she was born, like, he completely changed.
Yeah.
And then after the birth of their second child, he changed even more. And that's when he started escalating again into more murder and stuff. And the way it's described as well, the way he described it was like, he knew it was easy to kill something. He didn't realize it was just as easy to kill someone. So he literally saw them as nothing less than an animal.
I mean, are we surprised?
No, we knew this anyway, but this is just, you know, confirming what we already know. Can I just say as well, I am firmly disturbed because this is the only episode in existence where Lizzie hasn't said a singular word.
I know.
Told him in file form.
I can see that.
No, we can tell. Sure, look, it makes no difference anyways. It was, honestly, there's not even much to say. Like, it's one of those episodes where it's like,
no,
there's only so much you can say, because what do you say?
Yeah, there, it's really like, yeah, it was just a case of getting through it as quick as I could there, because it's horrendous. Like, there's so much horrible shit.
Oh, yeah.
And everything he does is bad.
He's just a horrible guy, like. It's just the fucking ins and outs of it, like, is just the details. But at the end of the fucking day, he's just a piece of shit.
And, yeah. And the legal system helped him. They gave him a free pass. They said, go forth, Bobby, and kill all of the fucking sex workers in the area. No one will stop you. Yeah. So that's Robert Hansen, part 2.
Every time you say Salty Robert Bob Hansen, I think of Chris Hansen from Dateline.
From Dateline. Oh my God, imagine Robert Hansen was caught by Chris Hansen. I would love to see that fucking interaction.
That would have been an episode.
Because he was a fair bit of a fucking paedophile as well, taking fucking 15, 16 year old girls.
That would have been a good episode. We should make it happen.
It would have been a great episode.
I mean, I can't, but I wish we could.
He would have cried.
He would have definitely cried. I know he is.
He's definitely
cried. He definitely cried when he dug the graves, being like, this isn't how it was meant to go. Kind of shit. Shut the fuck up.
Oh my God, yeah. And the I wish we'd met under different circumstances. There's actually an episode of Cold Case based on him, which I didn't know at the time of watching it. I like, it was only when I was reading the fucking book for the research, which, oh yeah, I should probably quote that. The source is The Butcher Baker, The True Story of Robert Hansen, The Human Hunter by Genevieve Ortiz. And it's True Crime Explicit Volume 2. There's a bunch of serial killer books in this series. I just obviously picked the Robert Hansen one.
Yeah.
But that's the source. Yeah, it wasn't until I was reading that and I came across the line, I wish we'd met under different circumstances. And I was like, oh, I've seen this on TV. I was like, why is this so familiar? Yeah. It's because it's in a fucking episode of Cold Case, down to him drawing the bath and making them let him watch and all. That's all in it. And I didn't realize at the time it was based on him.
He's so like, embarrassing. Like,
you know, but still, yeah. Oh, I'd wish we met under different circumstances. Oh, he genuinely believed Barbara when she said that she had kind of enjoyed their time together and started falling for him and wanted to go on dates. You sack. You absolute sad sack.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's all I got. We get to at least revel in this guy's capture in the next episode. It doesn't really have that satisfying of an end in this story, to be honest. But at least he does get caught. Thank you, fucking Detective Maxine Farrell, for giving a shit. Because without her and the other three, it never would have happened. He would have just killed till he died, I reckon. No one gave a continental.
That's purr-like, I guess.
Again, it's not surprising, but it's still upsetting.
Yeah.
And now you know why I was desperate for happy news before we started.
Yeah,
this.
No, I actually can't think of a single thing.
No, I feel like I had thought of something during the week and I was like, yeah, I'll definitely talk about this on the podcast, but can't think of it now. I swear I need to start writing these things down on post-its. I feel like, honestly, if we had had another option to record this week, I would have said we may put it off today, but it is what it is. But no day is a good day to talk about fucking mass murder, so meh, it's fine. We'll all be fine. Nope, you won't care about that either. I was about to say, in good news, there is fucking news about Mass Effect 4 made by the original team who made Mass Effect, and it definitely contains Liara Tassoni. But neither of you care about that, because neither of you played Mass Effect, so you don't care. Like, you don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
I'm very excited. I am very fucking excited. They released a little fucking teaser on N7 Day, which is November 7th, obviously. And I have been obsessing about it ever since. Because I didn't know, I thought after Andromeda and that big fucking letdown, because EA ruined the entire franchise with that piece of shit game, I thought after Andromeda there was no chance of a new Mass Effect being made. But apparently there is. Mass Effect 4 is on its way. It's going to be called something different. But for any of our listeners who care about Mass Effect the way I do, that is fantastic news. What else? What else? Everything else is just bad news. Like, all the other stuff that's going on in the world is bad. Politically bad. Fucking COVID bad.
Yeah. I just realised a game that I was mad to play has been released with months and I did not realise.
Which game?
Horizon Zero, Forbidden West.
Oh yeah, the new Horizon is out
ages. I did not realise it was out since fucking February. I've been waiting for it to come out for ages.
Oh my god, no. The new God of War dropped there last week as well.
Yeah, and they're dropping the new Call of the Mountain one in a few months now as well. On fucking real.
Apparently Bayonetta 3 is fucking out as well and I didn't know.
I'm buying that now today. That's going to be my fucking evening sorted. Actually, Lizzie, you're so miserable, man. I feel bad for you. Do you know what? Actually, what I will say
it's
is...
It's upsetting me.
Is that the... I feel like you're not going to kill yourself today. Because I feel like you're not arsed.
So true.
I feel like...
The effort isn't there.
You're like, no, that's so effort. Like, I feel like a fall now off a balcony would be so much effort for you. You'd actually have that face. She'd be falling to her death and she'd have that face on her. And she'd be ticked. Because someone would beep or something while she was falling. She's like, I can't even have a minute to myself.
Can't even enjoy my suicide because he...
Oh, I just... Oh, thanks. Pulled my earring because I forgot it was there.
Eee, on a fresh piercing. Not nice.
It was not nice. It did not feel good.
That's kind of it, man. Christmas doth approach. And so does the end of this series. And then we'll be back on cryptids. But alas, we will wrap it up here so that... I feel like Lizzie needs to go order some delicious fatty food and watch something either very sad or very happy on Netflix.
And probably just sleep. I'm refusing to eat.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap up here. We will meet back next week for the ending of this fucking dickhead. My message for the listeners this week. Oh, man, it's getting cold. If you're cold, they're cold. Bring your fucking dogs inside. Don't believe in them outside. Unless they're like huskies and shit where they like being out in the cold. But you know what I mean. Bring your wee Jack Russell in. It can't be out there. It's going to freeze to death. Bring your animals inside. And always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.